Today we are joined by Joel Weiss, president of the Lupus Foundation of New England. Joel, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thanks, Lisa.
So glad that you were able to come on today. I really appreciate it. Now, before we talk about the Lupus Foundation of New England, can you tell us what is lupus?
Well, lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease. And, you know, when we talk about a disease being chronic, it means that the signs and the symptoms last a long time, often for many years. An autoimmune disease means that, you know, it's a disease that can damage any part of the body. So it's a very dramatic disease, if you will. So lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that can affect almost every part of the body, your skin, your joints, your organs, and it can be very debilitating.
And what are the symptoms of lupus?
Well, the symptoms can be all kinds of things. You can have chronic fatigue, constant fatigue. You can have pain in your muscles and throughout your body. It can create or provide an individual with lupus with organ diseases, heart disease, very significant kidney disease. In many cases, lupus patients have to go on dialysis. And so the symptom that can be dermatological. There's a type of lupus that affects your skin, and there's for those that have studied lupus, there's this notoriety around this butterfly type of rash that often occurs on the individual's face, and so it can manifest itself in all kinds of ways, and it can be mild to some people, to some patients, and it can be very debilitating to others.
Now, I understand that it's more common in women. Is that correct?
It is much more common in women. Some studies show that 90% of those individuals with lupus are women, and it's very predominant in communities of color, particularly the African-American, Latino, and Asian-American communities.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But there are men that have it. I know a family in the community in which I live where a mother and a son, 21-year-old son, have it, you know, which, of course, goes to the question, you know, is it genetic and is it hereditary? And there are signs and some studies that show, it can be genetic, it can be hereditary, but it really hasn't been proven to be the case.
Oh, okay. Now, what kinds of treatments are available?
Well, you know, I won't get into the specific types of meds because it gets very complicated, but I think one of the things to note is that over the last 40 years, until just this past summer, the summer that we're in, there hasn't been a significant finding of treatment, a medicine in particular, that is specifically designed for lupus. We've been treating lupus in the last number of years with medicines that have been founded and created for other diseases. There are a series of cancer drugs that are being used to treat lupus. Depending upon where your lupus is manifested, you know, the skin, the joints, the organs, there are meds that have been designed to treat, you know, kidney disease and lung disease and heart disease that can be used to treat lupus. Only this summer, we had a second trial that was very encouraging through Human Genome, the pharmaceutical company, that would be the first medicine designed specifically for lupus in almost 50 years.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
It would be terrific. And, you know, it's going to go through later this fall a third trial, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that this could be a major breakthrough specifically for the treatment of lupus.
Oh, I hope so. Now, do they have any idea what causes lupus?
No, not really. You know, again, we look at environmental factors. We think about genetic factors as well. I don't, you know, there really hasn't been anything that has proven or can satisfactorily or definitively suggest that it's environmental, genetic, or, you know, certain things that go on in one's life. You know, it's a very hard disease to diagnose. I've talked to some individuals with lupus who, you know, tell me that for years they were being tested for other diseases, and it was only after nothing else was proven that they tested for lupus. And, you know, there are tests. There's blood work. There are biopsies that can be done to specifically test for lupus. But otherwise, you know, it's been a very challenging disease.
Now, can children develop it, or is it something that I seem to, it seems like it's yeah. mostly adults, or, oh,
no,
okay.
So actually, you know, the elevator speech that we often give talks about how it is predominantly a female, a disease that affects women, and we say that it can affect women from the ages of 15 to 45
okay.
and older. So, you know, there are many cases of young individuals, boys and girls, who are adolescents that are diagnosed with it. We were at a function in the Berkshires over the summer where we heard about a girl 9 years old who was diagnosed with lupus. So it can affect individuals of all ages. It can, by the way, and does affect men. I hear more and more stories almost on a weekly basis about men who have lupus. And what's frightening is that it can be fatal, and it has been fatal. So it's a disease that, in my short 6 months as president of the foundation, I've realized is way under the radar screen in terms of its impact and in terms of how serious it can be. And, you know, one of the things we're hoping to do through the foundation is create greater awareness around lupus and its impact on those that have it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you mentioned that. And if we can talk about the Lupus Foundation of New England. Now, you just mentioned you've been there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when was it founded?
The lupus, our particular foundation was founded in 1974. It was founded by individuals locally with lupus. There's still a physician, a rheumatologist in our community in the Boston area, Dr. Peter Scher, who along with Henrietta Alajim, co-founded this foundation and actually helped to co-found some national initiatives around lupus. And so we've just celebrated our 35th year.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, your mission statement begins with, "The mission of the Lupus Foundation of New England is to empower people with lupus and provide hope for the cure." And then you have the core activities to implement our mission. Can you tell us those core activities?
Well, we do a number of things. I mean, our basic focus is designed to create awareness, provide education, to provide support for mm-hmm. individuals and their families in the areas that we serve about lupus. So I should mention that our foundation right now is responsible for providing these services in the entire state of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So we, you know, have a large reach. In those communities, we have support groups that we provide help towards, that we work with to make sure that support services individually through meetings or through phone support is available to individuals and their families. So, you know, the support that we do would be to have support sessions and meetings where individuals can talk about their struggles and their challenges. We provide information to individuals on medical services and physicians in particular that are available to help them address their issues around lupus. We do provide 2 to 3 educational programs a year in the communities in the form of workshops and symposia around the impact of lupus on individuals. You know, we have a big symposium coming up in March, which will be almost a day symposium where we'll deal with a variety of issues in terms of treatment and research and support. We will be having a program in October. It's on October 10th here in the Boston area called Unlocking the Mystery of Lupus, which will be a broader, more general workshop on issues surrounding lupus. And then we run fundraising events to help support all of this. At the end of the day, the other thing that we hope that we're going to be able to increase our support for is lupus research. That's also been one of the major objectives and goals of our foundation, and that is to provide support to those individuals and institutions that do research towards a cure.
Oh, that's great. Now, I want to have you back in March.
Okay. First time. I'll be happy to come back.
Okay, good. You know, I was going to say the support groups are so important. I find that to be such a necessity. You know, after my mother passed away, my father and I joined a grief support group, and it's just fabulous. And when she was ill, you know, she had cancer, but, you know, it helped her immensely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helped my father immensely to go to the spouse support group. So
right.
I'm a big support group gal.
Yeah, I mean, we're finding that they are sought after in the communities that we have them. I think we have about 8 of them right now. In a variety of communities. We have them here in the Boston area. We have them in Western Massachusetts. We have them in Worcester, in Central Massachusetts as well. There's one in New Hampshire. We don't have one in Rhode Island right now, but we're hoping to have one there over the next 6 months, at least one. And we get requests all the time for support groups, for information, for educational opportunities. So I see our work getting to be much more important and busier over the next couple of years.
That's great. I know, because you hear about so many other, I mean, they are important diseases, obviously, but lupus needs to be more attention.
There does. I mean, I just, you know, I knew a little bit about it before taking the presidency of the foundation. I've obviously, in the nearly 6 months that I'm here, learned a great deal more, and I have a great deal more to learn. But as I meet with physicians, as I meet with individuals with lupus and their families, it's clear to me that this is a disease that really needs to be elevated in terms of awareness and information. You know, many people suspect that, many experts suspect that there are individuals walking around not feeling well that may have lupus, and it's just been a hard thing for them to either be proactive in dealing with and or having diagnosed.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that about not feeling well, because I wanted to get back to that. You know, what we talked about symptoms, but I mean, let's say it's in your skin. I mean, is it just a rash, or do you feel sick? Or if it's in your heart, does that make you feel weak? Or if it's in your lungs, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, what the lupus symptoms do when it's organ-related is, you know, create heart disease. It creates kidney disease or lung disease. And and your symptoms are, you know, whatever those whatever those diseases represent. So, it can be painful. It can create, and it often does create, chronic fatigue, which tends to be very big with lupus patients. Those that I've talked to, the stories that I've read, talks a great deal about being both in pain and discomfort and having fatigue.
Okay.
And, I think that those symptoms, along with the other things that may occur, depending upon where it is, is significant and can be very challenging for an individual. There's a sensitivity to light, both sunlight and just bright lights in general, with some of the symptoms and types of lupus that we treat. And so you'll often see individuals with lupus walking around with large hats, long sleeves, not wearing shorts because, you know, they need to stay out of the sun. And you'll often see them wearing sunglasses both inside and outside of a home or an office building or a restaurant because they have a particular sensitivity to light.
Yeah, I had a friend years ago with lupus, and I remember that exactly, with the sunglasses and the long sleeves and everyone. I understand it's hot. Why are you wearing long sleeves? And her having to explain. And,
right.
And she had a lot of joint pain as well.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it can affect literally every part of your body. I mean, in lupus, what happens is the immune system creates what are called autoantibodies, and what they do is they attack and destroy the healthy tissues. And when they destroy healthy tissue, it causes, among other things, pain and damage to parts of the body. And as I said earlier, in some cases, it can be fatal.
Now, if you can share any, without giving names, obviously, but is there any stories of people that have moved you, or have you seen any improvement in their health? Or,
well, again, remember that my experience is barely 6 months old. But I have seen and been with individuals that have lupus. You know, half of our board of trustees is made up of individuals that have lupus. You know, in many cases, I'm happy to say that there are some young women who have been involved with us and work with us that look great, continue to work fully, but have days that are just very debilitating. There's a woman, the wife of someone who is active with our board, who came to a function of ours a couple of months ago in a wheelchair because of the debilitating nature of her lupus. There's somebody else in the western part of the state that has blood transfusions and infusions on a regular basis because of her lupus, and there are days when she can't function. So it really does run the gamut. There's a wonderful woman who works for a nonprofit human service agency here in the community, spoke at one of our recent fundraising events just a couple of months ago, who looked terrific but told a story about how painful her days are. And, if you go online, you can get a hold of stories they just make you cry. They bring you to tears in some cases.
Yeah, they thought my mother had lupus at one point. She had a lot of autoimmune issues, and they never fully quite figured it out. And I'm always suspicious that she still did. But I saw her suffer a lot with different autoimmune issues, so I can just imagine. And again, I have friends that have lupus, and I just wish that there was more being done. And obviously, you were doing it.
Well, we're trying very hard, and I think the Board of Trustees and the staff of this foundation over the years have all done a tremendous job in addressing the needs of individuals with lupus and for their families as well. But there's a lot more work that we need to do, and we're going to try to build on that. We're going to try to build on that experience, on that history, and raise the awareness of lupus in the communities that we serve in, and try to provide more education, support, and financial resources for research.
Yeah. Now, speaking of education, who actually goes out? Do you have health educators that volunteer, or do they work for you?
We don't have them. They don't work for us. We're a relatively small staff. We do have volunteers. We do have health professionals and educators, researchers, many of whom are physicians, some of whom are not, who have, and by the way, there's tremendous work being done here in the Boston area at our area hospitals. We have two lupus centers, one at Brigham and Women's and one at Beth Israel Deaconess, that do tremendous work, both in supporting and treating individuals with lupus and doing research. And so we collaborate and work together with them to bring these programs to the community, and they're all very generous with their time and do volunteer their time to be the experts at our various education and outreach events.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have a master's in public health and health ed. I'd be happy to help. So
that'd be great.
I learn quickly, so
good.
I would love to reach out, and we'll get in touch after the show. Well,
please.
Was there anything else before we close that you wanted to add, Joel? You've been wonderful, and the information is so important.
I know that we're in very, very challenging economic times, and we're not lost for the areas and the places that we can support. We run events. We have our big walkathon is coming up September 13th. It's a walk on the Charles that begins at 9 o'clock, ends around noon. It's at the Richard Artisani Park in Brighton. If people can come out and help us walk, that would be great. On October 5th, we have our golf tournament, again, with the proceeds of these events going towards education outreach and research for lupus. We would love to have folks join us for the walk on September 13th and on our golf tournament on October 5th, which is at the Black Rock Country Club in Hingham. They can go to our website or, call the office anytime for more information. And we're looking for individuals to volunteer, to be part of our committees, be part of our board, be part of our resource development work. We're a small staff. We're only three individuals and can use a lot of support from the volunteer community.
Wow, three individuals.
That's all we are, is three staff members.
All right, everybody, let's volunteer. Give us your contact information.
Our website is www.lupusne, one word, LUPUSNE.org. That's our website. We have a toll-free number, 877-NO-LUPUS. But we're easy to find. We're in Framingham, and we're willing to come out into the community to speak and to be part of work that happens in the community as well.
Well, this has been wonderful. And I'm definitely going to mention the events that you had mentioned. They're on your site. And also,
it.
I want to replay your program as well,
well
throughout the
you.
Coming months and then have you back on in March. So, Joel,
that'll
thank you so much. Now, if you want to reach me, you can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, joining us next week, Tuesday, September 8th at 9:30 to 10 a.m., is David Sollers, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Homeopathy and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Acupuncture and Acupressure. And he's the founder of First Health right here in Andover, Massachusetts. And he'll be followed at 10 by Lane Murphy, who is the creator of the Jack Rack, which is an amazing exercise device. And he'll be talking about how to simplify physical fitness by creating an effective workout using things in your home you already own. Now, on Thursday, September 10th, big show, 9:30, we'll be joined by Kristen Steed and Kathy Skeel from NBC's The Biggest Loser. They're up to some great stuff that they're going to share with us, and they are wonderful women. So thanks for listening. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.